Ken, and by the way, due to the fact that this is Mother's Day, I want to talk to you. You might not think that I've been talking about mothers when I'm finished, but that's basically the idea. And I want to mention to you up front that the word mother, in the Old Testament, the word is it's like A-M-E, and it is translated in some cases like that, dame. Hence, people call women dames. And for all practical purposes, though, that word there has to do with an animal, a female animal. If you were raising like purebred hogs, I'm sorry about that. Sorry about that, but for the female, you'd get papers, and she would be listed, that female hog, that sow, would be listed as a dame, and so forth. So I didn't mean that to be offensive to you ladies in here, but the word itself, mother, is referred to in a King James Bible somewhere in the neighborhood of 245 times. So obviously, God is conscious of mothers. And God honors mothers and tells us to do so. And so that's what we're trying to do today. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, and so forth and so on. So we're to honor our father and our mother. Now, sometimes I realize that that could be difficult for some of us. Nevertheless, if we consider people in the light of that which we were talking about in the Sunday school, Jesus Christ died for the sins. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Then how could an individual hold things against their mother when their mother's sins are paid for by Christ at Calvary? Say, but my mother has not received that. Then do everything you can to get her to receive that, but don't rebuke her, don't blast away at her. Deal with her in a kindly fashion. In fact, Ephesians chapter 4 says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Honor your mother. Now, go back with me to the book of Genesis. Look in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. Now, before I go on here, there is an indication in the passage that Adam, after having received the instructions, instructed Eve. Whether Eve was incapable of receiving all of the instructions exactly or not is not up to me to judge. But this is not what God said. She started her own translation, and she got in trouble. And so a lot of what I'm going to say to you this morning is going to be based upon the fact that she caused a lot of problems. And I believe that every mother and every girl, woman, whatever in this place today, I believe these things are written for your instruction in order that you might learn some things and how to conduct your life. Certainly not like Eve. Verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. In other words, he's taken the position after what she said that there are some possibilities under certain circumstances that you might partake of this tree, and there isn't an absolute fact that you're going to die. It is true that God said that, but you know, we all have to take our chances. And what he's doing, he's reeling her in. Verse 5, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The gods are fallen creatures. And the indication is that she could see them. And if she could see them, and there wouldn't be any reason that I'd believe that she couldn't, if she could see them, then there's something about them that would cause her to desire to be like them. Turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 6. They're probably, in this case, called sons of God. In Genesis 6, verse 1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for the he also is flesh, and so forth and so on. There are giants in the earth in those days, and on and on. Now, turn with me to Psalm 82. The gods. She could see the gods. And so the devil used them to provoke her. In Psalm 82, verse 1, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. In other words, the gods went with Satan in a rebellion and an attempted overthrow of Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The next verse says, and the earth was without form and void. The Hebrew word there carries the idea of became. The earth became without form and void. Something caused that. And after a careful study of passages like Isaiah 14, Ezekiel chapter 28, and such passages, it appears as if Lucifer, Satan himself, said, I'll arise above the throne of God, I'll make myself like the Most High. And he led certain angels in rebellion against God, and the end result was there was an overthrow, and God put a division between himself and the creatures upon this earth. Verse 3, defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth out of course. I've said you're gods. And all of you are children of the Most High. Therefore, they're called sons of God in Genesis chapter 6, most likely. Now, go back to Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. In other words, they suddenly became conscious of a change in their life. There's something about the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and we're not talking about apples here, that changed everything in their lives. And when Adam looked upon Eve, he saw her totally different than he'd ever seen her before. And he felt something within him called desire. It's called lust. And he felt something in him that he'd never felt before. Eve, the same thing happened to her. And they thought, if we'll cover everything up, that'll stop it all. And so of all things, they used fig leaves. Fig leaves represents the religious systems of this world that people are wrapping themselves in, trying to hide from their nature. And most times they'll go to where a preacher preaches unto them that they're good people. They're just a little bad and, whatever. But the good will always overcome the bad and stuff like that. And so people go for that stuff. Now, verse 9. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this thou hast done? And the woman said, Boy, this is passing the buck, isn't it? The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now the word Eve is referred to four times in a King James Bible. Notice in verse 20, And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Now go to chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord, and she's mixed up again. Turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I don't think God was wasting ink when he put these things in here. That's the reason I said that. Maybe you ladies can get something out of this that will help you. In 2 Corinthians 11, we'll start in verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now turn, please, to 1 Timothy. I look in 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 2. And by this time, if you paid attention to what you read and believed the Bible meant exactly what it said, as it said it, where it said it, you came to the conclusion that the reason God does not call women preachers is because they have no resistance against satanic things except when they are living and walking beside a godly man that teaches them. Now, people, you can just take that, throw it in the garbage can if you want, but I'll guarantee you it works. A woman has a weak side to her because of her compassion. Sometimes that she allows her compassion to get the best of her and so forth. And she might let her children get by with things that a man wouldn't let them get by with. Hence, my mother told my daddy, and I never wanted her to. I always wanted her to handle it. She turned it over to him, and I knew what was going to come. In 1 Timothy chapter 2. Well, I'll get it in a minute. Verse 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. with shamefacedness. Now you can't help but connect that with Genesis chapter 3. The woman saw her nakedness, and she was afraid, and she hid herself from God. Shamefacedness. Verse 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, gold or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. You see, Adam did what he did on purpose. And most likely he believed that he was becoming a type of Christ, although he probably didn't know about Christ at that time. But all of a sudden, something has happened, and he knows it's happened, and she's going down. Now you have to think. God Almighty created Adam of the dust of the earth, breathed into him the breath of life. Adam became a living soul, and he put him in this garden, and God Almighty he made all the animals, and Adam named them. And I can see Adam walking in the garden, and every animal has a mate. Adam has none. Even though he has association with Almighty God, there's something there that isn't quite what he needs. And so God, as it were, killed him as Christ died on Calvary. He went into a deep coma, a deep sleep. Death of a child of God is sleep. And God took a rib and made a woman and presented her unto Adam. Now Adam's got a helpmeet. He's got a mate. But he failed in making things clear about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And again, we're not talking about an apple tree. And she partakes of the fruit because it looked beautiful. It appeared that it would taste good and make her wise. Now, why would she want to be made wise? It always bothered me a little bit about husband and wife associations when the wife always wants to go to college to have her own deal. None of my business, but I always wondered why. Does she not like the subjection from her husband? Does she really believe that some way, somehow, she's going to rise above her husband? Because she never stops at equality. If you ladies in here think that women are going to do that, you've got another thought coming, because Isaiah chapter 3 lays it out for you. When Christ returns, women are going to be running things in government. And the Bible says of Lucifer, Satan, the man of sin, the son of perdition, in Daniel chapter 11, that he will not regard the desire of women. Look in Genesis 3, verse 16. Genesis 3:16. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And the word desire there, you need to get by yourself, get you a dictionary, get down and pray and look at that word desire. That word desire goes a lot further than wanting to go to the grocery store. Believe me. Thy desire shall be to thy husband. He shall rule over thee. Now, back in... We no need to go back to Timothy. So, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Now, the passage is not all that difficult if you just really think about it. What it all amounts to is there is no reproduction of the human race beyond a male and female. You can work on it till hell freezes over, and if two men marry and have children, they adopt them. If two women marry and have children, they adopt them. The only children born in this world is where a woman conceives and brings forth a child. The human race cannot be a human race without women. Eve is the mother of all living. She's the first mother, bar none. Just as Adam is the first man, she's the first woman. She's the mother. And God Almighty just took a club and knocked homosexuality in the head to begin with. But then people don't believe the Bible. They don't believe that a woman's desire should be to her husband. They believe a woman's desire should be to another woman. Turn with me, please, to Romans. And look in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We live in a time that the world has gone nuttier than a pecan pie. In Romans chapter 1, verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, birds, full-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which is meet, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and you'd believe that they wouldn't under those circumstances. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, on and on and on. Homosexuality is the result of idolatry. The imagination of the hearts of individuals are wicked continually, and so an individual, even though has evil imaginations in their heart, can still take God's word and see what's true and what's untrue. There isn't anything where our wicked heart should stop us from reading and believing the truth. Turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 16. And a big mess started right here in Genesis 16, verse 1. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. By the way, God had told Abraham, or Abram, your children are going to outnumber the stars of heaven. And he believed God. He just, as it were, bowed his head and said, amen. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And so he's trying to work out a way that this is going to take. He's trying to help God get this thing come to pass. And so he said, okay, Eliezer, my servant, is going to bear a child. I'm going to adopt the child. God said, nope, you got it all wrong. This child is going to come from you. So now Sarah gets in on the act. She's going to help out. She said, I can't bear any children, which she was totally wrong. She underestimated the power of God also. You see, it's very difficult for us to believe that God can do what the Bible says that he can do. So then we get so we believe that he can. The next question is, will he? Have to think about that a while. Just because he can doesn't mean that he will. Now, verse 2. Sarah said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And being carnal and mean and whatever, I doubt that he resisted very hard. Verse 3. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, a maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar. If you want to know what a wife is, you got it there. He went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes, and so forth. She bore a son, which is the great, 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 great grandfather of Arafat. And the descendants of this man here has caused trouble in Israel down through the years. And it isn't going to stop now either. It'll only stop at the coming of the Lord. Now, so Eve is the mother of all living. Now, that's really something. You have to think about that a while. I mean, you know, you work on that and you think about it and you pray about it and you study and whatever. She's the cause of death in the human race. I mean, the mother of all living is the cause of death? Wow. You know why? Because she ran ahead and got involved in something that she couldn't handle and never even knew it. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 5, a man dies. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Now, you know something? He ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil on purpose. But nevertheless, the cause of death is eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Why did he do it? Because of her. She brought about his death, and as if that was not enough, her son is a killer. Her first son is a killer. If she'd have stayed away from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, mind her own business, been doing what God Almighty made her to be, she wouldn't have had a problem with Satan to start with. She'd have said, why don't you talk to my husband about this? But instead of talking to her husband about it, he knew that he could talk to her, convince her, and she'd convince her husband then to follow her. You see, because men are weak along those lines. Following a woman. And women detect that. They don't have to read books to do it either. Am I boring you? So she's the cause of, in other words, the woman who is the instigator of all life in the sense that there can be no more living human beings without her, turns out to be the one that brings about the death of those people by partaking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And in doing so, she causes her own death, the death of her husband, causes the fact that her first son killed the second son, and causes the fact that every person in this room and everybody else in the world are born in sin, dead in trespasses and sin. Why? Because of Adam, and Adam ate what he did. He did what he did because of her. She's the mother of all living, though. So if I put all that together, then I know something. I know that if I put Adam back here and I draw a line down here, I've got no one else. But if I put Eve in here, through Eve, then there's a line of human beings down there, and it can't be any other way. Now, I said, but God could have created them. Well, if God was going to create them, bless God, he wouldn't have made Adam in the first place. In other words, God could create human beings, and that's true. But then they wouldn't have a free will. And so God made a man, put a free will in that man, so that that man could be tempted by his wife, and that man could eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil by absolute free choice. And then something else took place. One of the greatest of all this, the greatest thing, one of the greatest that I learned in all this, is in spite of this woman's brash attitude, not following her husband or whatever, bless God, he honored her. Isn't that something, lady? All is not lost where you're concerned. There's hope for you, because God gave a sacrifice for you. Look in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Genesis 3, verse 21. And Adam also, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now there can't be much doubt about what these animals are. Look in chapter 4, verse 4. And Abel he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. Most likely then it would be a sheep. Look in chapter 22. And it would be a lamb. Genesis chapter 22. In Genesis 22, notice in verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Turn with me, please, to Exodus, and look in Exodus chapter 12. I mean, come on, folks, the odds are so evident. In Exodus chapter 12, notice in verse 3, Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month thou shalt take to them every man a lamb according to the house of his fathers, a lamb for an house, and if the household be too little for the lamb, the last word in the verse, the lamb, verse 5, your lamb shall be, and on and on and on. There ain't any doubt about it. It's a lamb, folks. Go to John. John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, Abraham most likely didn't know anything about that this was going to take place, but Abraham knew the kind of sacrifice he needed to offer, and he said, God will provide himself a lamb. And so it turns out that what he's saying is God himself is going to turn out to be the Lamb. In John 1, verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, and so forth and so on. In other words, then Jesus Christ, it turns out to be a two-legged lamb, that the lamb that is killed to make clothing for Adam and Eve is a type. So God Almighty takes this animal, or maybe more, I don't know, and they lay their hands on the head of the animal, signifying, this right here is my substitute in death. You see, what's amazing about all this, God said, Adam, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And Adam lived 930 years, and so people began to, you can just hear the cogs turning in their brain and on. They're trying to figure that thing out. Well, they say, I know God didn't lie. But it said, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Oh, I know what it is. It's 2 Peter chapter 3. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day, and so he died within that 1,000 years. Oh, baloney. Bless God, he died that day, and he died in the substitute that God offered for him, and that substitute is a lamb. And we in this room that are saved by the grace of God died in a substitute, and that substitute's name is Jesus Christ. What happened in that garden back there is a prefigure of that which was going to take place on Calvary someday. God killed their little animals, took their skins, shed the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin, and covered the nakedness of Adam and Eve. You know something? Every person in here, you listening to me, every person in here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your nakedness is revealed. You see, nakedness goes a lot further than just the physical human body. A woman, the other day I walked back there into the office, and there was a call waiting back there, and it was a woman that wanted to know about the time of our service. And so I told her, and I began to tell her what we believe. And I told her that I preached that the King James Bible is the Word of God. And the lady, and it's not that I blame her, because I know what the religious system teaches out there. And so I told her that I do not use ASV, RSV, Moffat, William, NIV, and so forth. And she said, well, I use an NIV. I said, well, it makes the Lord Jesus Christ out to be an illegitimate child. And she had one evidently right in front of her. And she read Luke 2, verse 33. Luke 2:33 said, and his father and his mother marveled at the things which... And I said, but Joseph is not... She said, it didn't say Joseph, it said his father. Well, that's pride. But nevertheless, what is the point in all this? The point in it is back here, God Almighty gave a type. He showed you something in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, and identified it for you in the rest of the Bible so that you could look forward to the coming of the Christ down here. That Isaiah chapter 53 said, as a lamb to the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. Jesus Christ, then, is the sacrificial offering that God Almighty gave to save your never-dying, miserable soul from eternal damnation in hell. You see, you never had a choice in being born. Adam and Eve reproduced children, and their children reproduced children, and on down the line, and you were born into this world without a choice. You didn't ask anybody to let you be born, but you were born in sin, and so God gave you a choice, and he put his son on Calvary, delivered him up, and denied him on Calvary, so that you back here can look back to Christ, choose him as your Lord and Savior, and you have a choice in heaven or hell. You don't have to go to hell, and you don't have to deny it. Denying it won't cover it up, and it won't change it. You can't cool it off. In hell, the rich man lift up his eyes, being in torments, and saw Abraham afar off, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am tormented in this flame. God Almighty is not happy that you be tormented, and proved it to you by having mercy upon you, by delivering up his son and giving him to die for you on Calvary, so that you can choose him as your Lord and Savior, believing that he died for your sins, and have eternal life and eternal peace in heaven. I've been working on a new poem, a song, whichever the case might be, and it's been on my mind. It mostly came about with the old song, I'll Fly Away. And it dawned on me, and I just started with, if I could only fly. You ever think about it? If I could only fly. I'm talking about fly. I'm not talking about some astronaut. I'm talking about going beyond the sky, away beyond the blue. If I could only fly. And I put in there, it's just 2 years now since Tom left us. I get to thinking about it, and I get to thinking about all the friends. That was Gail Smith, preached his funeral. John Hale, preached his funeral. I watched as some heathen preached my daddy's funeral. Watched as another preached my mother's funeral. There's my brothers, now they're gone. My sister's gone. There's only one reason to stay here. Preach the word. There isn't any other cause. If I could only fly. So then it dawned on me. If God would have fixed it so I could fly, I'd leave. But what are you good for anyhow? Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. But I can give a testimony. I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I know when I trusted him, where I trusted him, and the circumstances by which I trusted him. I know that. I may not know much, but I know him. And I'm saved by his grace, and awaiting the day that I can get out of this stinking sewer called the world. No more heartache, no more pain. Go to where everybody that's there are true. No more deceiving, being deceived. No more lying, cheating. No more conniving. I'm talking about me. I said, well, Brother Moore, how could you be a preacher and be all those things? It isn't easy. I did a tape one time, sent it out, mailed it out to a lot of people called God Calls Sinful Men to Preach His Word, and some people didn't exactly appreciate that. You know what? What other kind are there? So God laid out for you in type back there two people that deserve to die because of their rebellion against God, as we deserve to die because of our rebellion. And so God gave us a choice. We can choose the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and be saved eternally, or we can just fail to receive him, or we can reject him as our Lord and Savior and die and go to hell. But you now have the choice, and you choose one way or another. Mother, I thank God for you. I think you're great. I really do. You know, somebody put the word out that Brother Moore hates women. I tell you what, why don't you go over to Oliver? No, don't go there, but if you did, and see if Dr. Watchcallit over there, gives you a rose when you come in the door. Now, don't go away from me and tell somebody that idiot over there tried to get me to identify with it. No, 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 no. I appreciate you, Mother. Thank you.